I do realize that my voice is still a bit weak, and I just hope that you will maybe cough a little softer and that you will all be able to hear. The text for today is found in Romans 8, verse 15, which says this, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, this whole section, as I have said before, is under the dominant theme of that first verse. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." But who are those that are in Christ Jesus? Well, they are the ones that have been liberated by the Spirit. And because they have been liberated by the Spirit, they're not walking according to the flesh anymore, but they are walking according to the Spirit. And that is the same as to say that they are being led by the Spirit of God because they are the sons of God. Well, now in verse 12 and following, you have what we might call the practical effect of this in the lives of God's people. "So then, brethren, we are under obligation." All of this is true, then it's obvious, isn't it? That we are under obligation, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you do, he says, you'll die, but to live according to the Spirit. In other words, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, if that's what you're doing, you're going to live. And in verse 15, you have what I might call a further statement of it, a restatement, a further clarification in which he says, "You see, you have not received a spirit of slavery, again leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption." Now, I suppose you've read that hundreds of times. Have you ever really stopped to think what it means? Well, you may not know it, but that is a text that is rather difficult to be sure exactly what the meaning is. And one reason for that is the fact that it is very difficult to decide whether or not the spirit referred to there is the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. Now, in the New American Standard Version, the word spirit is not capitalized, which means that the translators of that version have decided that they think it means the human spirit of the person. You have not received within yourself as your own characteristic spirit a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received as a characterization of your own human spirit a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. And that can be a valid interpretation, because there certainly are places in the Bible where the mere word spirit, standing by itself, with no other indicators, does indeed mean the human spirit. For instance, in verse 10, it appears to me that this is clearly what is indicated. For we read, "If Christ is in you, then even though the body is dead," and that certainly means your body is dead because of sin, "yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness, probably meaning that your own human spirit is alive as a result of the righteousness of Jesus. And we do know anyway that man has a spirit, and we do know that when man dies, the dust returns to the earth, as it were, and the spirit, the human spirit, returns to God who gave it. So, the New American Standard Version may be right. But on the other hand, there are a great many Bible commentators and versions that take this to mean the Holy Spirit. You did not receive a Holy Spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a Holy Spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. And indeed, the very next statement would be in harmony with that, where it says the Spirit Himself bears witness. And indeed, throughout this entire passage, is it not true that the focus is upon the Holy Spirit and the witness of the Spirit and the fact that we are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God? Now, I point this out simply to be honest. Very easy for me to get up here and tell you, well, it means this or it means that. In my honest judgment, there is no way that any Bible commentator or any preacher can be absolutely certain in this instance whether the text is referring to the Holy Spirit or the human spirit, because there is nothing in the context which demands just the one and not the other. And as a matter of fact, the analogy of Scripture is such that either one of them is perfectly biblical and makes perfectly good sense. So I'm not going to try to insist on one or the other. I am only going to say that this is another instance in which, where God has not given us the information that we might like to reach a decision that we might want to come to, it does not affect the tremendous impact of the teaching of that text of the Scripture anyway. Because, as you'll notice in verse 16, the two spirits are brought together anyway. For we read there, the Spirit Himself, and that cannot be yourself, it must be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. Which means, in other words, that in any event, there is no reason to demand a decision because, take it whichever way you will, you cannot escape the fact that the other spirit is involved. Take the interpretation that it is the Holy Spirit. All right, your spirit is involved because the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Take it to mean your spirit. All right. The Holy Spirit is involved because the Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that you are one of the children of God. So the first great problem here is to understand this. And I don't think we have to reach a definitive decision. We just have to keep in mind that there never is the spirit of adoption without the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, the second problem in this text is this. What does it mean then when it speaks of a spirit of bondage leading to fear? Now, some have said that this is a hypothetical statement, which is never true in fact. It is put there in a hypothetical way, merely for the sake of contrast. You have not received a spirit of bondage leading again to fear. Not that anyone ever does receive that anyway, but we say it hypothetically just to give you a negative. No, what you have received is a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. And they say that because they say the Spirit of God is not a spirit of bondage. Well, that's true, you know. The Spirit of God is not a spirit of bondage. Because man is already in bondage anyway. If there's anything that the Bible is clear about, it is clear about that. The natural man is in bondage to sin. He is in bondage to Satan, and he is in bondage to himself. No doubt about that. There never was and never will be any man on the face of the earth in his natural state who is not in bondage. And the Holy Spirit is not the one that produces that bondage. So, that far, at least, the interpreters are right when they say, well, this couldn't mean that the Spirit of God causes man to be in bondage. Well, that's right. But it doesn't say that either. What it says is, you have not received, again, a spirit of bondage leading to fear. And that is what makes all of the difference in understanding this text of the Bible. Because the Bible says the one thing the natural man does not have is fear. Go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It is the culminating statement in Paul's 3-chapter-long indictment of sinful men, both Gentiles and Jews. And what does he say at the end of that indictment? And by the way, he quotes this from Psalm 36. Well, this is what he says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is really the fundamental characteristic of all human beings apart from the Holy Spirit of God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid of the wrath of God. They are not afraid of the horrible reality of hell and damnation. And I can tell you that New Zealand today is full of living examples of this truth. Plenty of people living within a stone's throw of my house are not the slightest bit afraid of God or of His wrath or of eternal damnation. But there never has been and there never will be a man who is not afraid of God and of His wrath, and of His eternal damnation, once the Spirit of God begins to work in that man's heart and mind to reveal to him the awesome reality of his bondage. And that's why our text says, you have not received again. You did receive it once, but you have not received again the spirit of bondage leading to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Because, you see, it was the promise of Jesus that when the Spirit came, you find it in John 16, He would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The first work of the Holy Spirit of God in the heart of every man who's going to have eternal life is to convict him of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, what I'm saying is that if you have not first experienced the Spirit that works in you a sense of your bondage unto fear, then you're never going to experience the second part of that text, which is the Spirit of adoption. Now it seems to me that the Bible is literally full of the proof of this fact. What I'm saying, in other words, is that take the word Spirit whichever way you please, either as the Holy Spirit bringing about this sense of fear because of bondage, or whether you take it as the human spirit coming to a sense of fear because of its bondage as a result of the work of the Spirit, doesn't matter one bit. The fact still remains that no man enters the kingdom of God who does not first come to the point of fear on account of his bondage. Now, all of you who are really God's children here today, you know what I'm talking about, because you have experienced this. The parable of the prodigal son is a good example of it. Now, the prodigal son was in bondage a long time before he came to feel that he was in bondage. The prodigal son was in bondage a long time before he began to fear. But before he was reinstituted in the family of the Father, he came indeed to the experience of fear, fearing that maybe even because of the enormity of his sin, the Father wouldn't even have him, and realizing the justice if the Father wouldn't have it. Yes, you read the parable of the prodigal son, you see that before there is the happy reunion of being readopted into the family of the Father, there is first the awakening of which our text is speaking. You have the same thing clearly established in the life of the Apostle Paul. Why does he tell us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, that he knows the terror of the Lord? What do you mean, Paul, you know the terror of the Lord? Well, you can read about it in chapter 7. Where he says, well, before the Spirit of God began to really work in me and make me aware of my sin, I was alive. But then he says the law came in, and the Spirit of God began to apply that law to me, and I began to see the enormity of my sin. Well, then he says I died. I was reed, crushed, and smitten, and I cried out. Of course the Apostle Paul came to know the terror of the Lord. He was suddenly awakened to the fact that he was dead in trespasses and sins and heading for the terrible judgment of God. It was only afterwards that he came to that tremendous liberation of which he is speaking here. As the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set him free from the law of sin and death, and he received the Spirit of adoption and was then able to say, I know whom I have believed. Now you see the same thing in the life of David. You read Psalm 32, which we sang a little bit ago. And David talks about how the hand of the Lord was heavy upon him. And he groaned with the sense of this bondage. And he starts crying out in fear to God. And then he says, "And so will everyone that is godly seek you in a time when you may be found, so that he will not come into the flood of great waters." An obvious reference to the flood of Noah, which was a great type of the judgment of God upon sinners. And David recognizes in his own experience something that is applicable to all of the people of God. Now, I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, that everyone must have the same pattern of experiencing a spirit of bondage unto fear. I may experience it in a very sharp and brief crisis. You may experience it as a gradual culmination of a long experience of teaching and the influence of the gospel. I am not saying here that your religious experience must duplicate mine in all of its details. But I am saying that if you have never known the spirit of bondage unto fear, fear of God, fear of the awesome wrath of God, which rightly and justly is deserved by you because of the terrible things you've done in thought, word, and deed. And if you've never experienced real fear of the horror of damnation, which is going to take place for human beings just like you and me, then I say to you, there is no possible way that you could now have the spirit of adoption. So let me ask you here today, have you received the spirit of bondage unto fear? Or have you just imagined that without that, you can just congratulate yourself on the fact that you have received the spirit of adoption? The analogy of Scripture is quite clear. You do not have a spirit of adoption if you do not first have a spirit of bondage leading to fear. Does it surprise you to know that that is the very emphasis of the Heidelberg Catechism? What must I know to really have comfort, the kind that lasts forever? Well, you first have to know how great your sin and misery is. That's what I'm talking about. And when you get it, it always leads from death unto life. And when you get it, it is always followed by the spirit of adoption. In my whole life, I've never met anyone who has really been brought by the Spirit of God to have within him a spirit of bondage to fear, where he's really deeply concerned and afraid of the judgment of God, who did not go on to enjoy likewise the spirit of adoption. You might call this the work that the Spirit of God always does before He grants us the Spirit of adoption. Before He enables us to say, "Now I know that I belong to Jesus." Well, now I can't emphasize that too much because it is absolutely essential to every one of you if you want to have eternal life. It's just another word for real repentance, and the Bible says you can't have eternal life if you don't repent. And repentance is a deep down change of mind and heart and attitude and everything else toward our lost and sinful condition. But now, having emphasized that, and I hope I've made it clear, and I hope I've given you adequate biblical testimony from other parts of the Bible to fully support what the apostle is saying here. But now let me go on to say that it is also very important to note the force of that word again. Because the apostle Paul is dwelling here not upon those who aren't Christians yet, but those who are. And that's why he says you have not received a spirit of bondage leading to fear again. Because once you are a child of God and you receive the spirit of adoption, never again do you ever receive a spirit of bondage to fear. And I cannot emphasize that too much either. This is emphasized all the way through this portion of the Bible. Now, why do I emphasize this? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because there are those who pride themselves upon receiving this again and again. Did you know that there are denominations of people who consider themselves to be eminent Reformed people who believe that it is a badge of honor to be again and again brought under a spirit of bondage to fear? Are you a child of God? Oh, well, they would say, I hope I am. I hope that I may be a child of God. But far be it from me at this point in time to say that I am a child of God. Oh no, I have a spirit of bondage unto fear. There's a congregation of Reformed people not very far from here that emphasize this tragic teaching constantly. And it's not true. Because when God takes you into His family, oh yes, there was a time when you had a spirit of bondage to fear. That's when you came to repentance. That's when you came to conversion. But He never sends that spirit again. Never. Because you are always being led, you're a child of God by the Spirit of God. And you have received now a spirit of adoption as sons by which you cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself, and this is the force of it, and we'll look into this later on, is constantly, all the time, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So anybody who goes on and on and on living in a spirit of bondage unto fear is denying the glorious truth of this whole portion of the Word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now, if you ask me, well, Williamson, are you not an unworthy sinner? Is there in you, I mean in your flesh, your old sinful nature, any good thing? My answer is no, there isn't. Not anything good in my old sinful nature. You take me in my old sinful nature as I am in and of myself, there's nothing that would give me any encouragement. But you see, that's just the point. I'm not just me in and of myself anymore, because I am in union with Jesus. I did come to bow before the cross of Christ, and I did come and say, Savior, cleanse my sin, wash away all the guilt of my iniquity. And He did it. And He did give to me the Spirit of adoption. And there did leap up in my heart the word Abba, Father. And ever since that, I've been talking to my Father in heaven. How then could I ever again have the spirit of bondage unto fear? For there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God and the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is always there, bearing witness with our spirit, as we call God our Heavenly Father. So let me ask you again, do you have this spirit of adoption? Did you once have the spirit of bondage to fear? Did you come to repentance and faith? And then did you experience the wonder of calling God your Father through the Lord Jesus? And has the Spirit ever since been leading you in the glorious liberty of the children of God? Well, I trust that He has, and that He will also lead us as we seek to look even more deeply into the mystery of this testimony of the Spirit in our hearts. God grant it. Amen. We thank You, O God, today that You did send a spirit of bondage to fear to awaken us out of our indifference, that we might flee from the wrath which is to come. But, oh, we thank You even more that having come to Jesus, You have given us the Spirit of adoption. Confirm that in our hearts, O God, we pray, and enable us to live more and more in the joyful reality of that liberty and freedom. This we ask for Christ's sake only. Amen.